Welcome back to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. My name is Angela Bachman, and I'm in studio with Brittany Sheets today. Hey, Brittany.
Hey, Angela.
We are celebrating Friday, and to celebrate Friday, we always have to bring our friend Buck Gino back from Work in Progress Radio. Buck, welcome.
It's always a pleasure to be with you ladies, especially on Fridays, because it seems to be a lot more fun.
It is, and we love talking to you. You're really fun to talk to, Buck. I mean, we talk to you all week, every day, but you know what? We really love Friday.
Friday, we get radio time.
Friday, we get to talk to you the longest of the week.
Exactly.
Well, anyway, though, I do have a piece of housekeeping I have to take care of first.
Okay.
For all the listeners in Michigan. Go Blue. Tomorrow is the annual rivalry game between Michigan and Michigan State.
So
you see a lot of flagpoles out here with Michigan State's insignias on one side and University of Michigan State, Michigan on the other, and husbands and wives split, and even dogs and cats.
That's like the Pitt Penn State thing that we got going here.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
I don't know how I feel about that. Anyway. Being from the Big Ten myself, I don't know how I feel about that.
Right. Yeah. You could do us a favor.
Whichever loss works. Michigan State. Whichever loss works better in my favor. You know what? Hey. Go Penn State. Beat Ohio State. Yeah. Rah rah rah.
There you go. We're universal on that method.
Yeah. Alrighty. So I hear you have a little poll for us. You've done a little work yourself, feeling the ground.
As I was working with you folks, Charles, and there's always the question about, you know, what the voters feel. So I've been kind of working on a little survey. This is a survey from, you know, people at the gym, people at the restaurant, people at the, you know, at township meetings. And what I've found is that you know, we're less than 2 weeks away from the election, and you know the undecided voters are really mad. I mean, they're mad. You know, they've been hit with you know, the discussion with Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act. You know, then of course we have the terrorist threat. You know, which the mainstream media has taken up with that and tried to put the fear of God back into everybody. And then, you know, you throw in the disease Ebola. You know, there's a lot of things that are driving people in their decision and how they're going to vote. And, you know, to be honest with you, it's going to be, with all due respect, it could be difficult for some Democrats because, you know, usually what those voters do is they'll punish the administration that's in power. It doesn't make a difference whether it's a Democrat or Republican. It just seems to go that way. You know, and, you know, people really haven't changed their positions much, but, you know, they're mad about a lot of things. And the most thing they're mad about is they're mad at the president. They're mad at the Rick Snyder. And they're mad at Congress. So this is going to make a really interesting election.
So they're kind of mad at everybody.
You know,
it's what it sounds like.
Of the people that really got it figured out how they're going to vote on one side and the other 30% on the other side. But really, this election will be decided by a group of people that are really mad.
Well, that's good, because you know what? Whenever you get people really riled up and, you know, you get them mad and angry, that's whenever they really go, hey, I don't like this. You get their attention. And you know what? You can tell them, like, this is how you fix it. If you don't like this and you're really mad, this is how what we can do to make you fix it. You know, go out and vote. This person wants to help you. Because when you're mad, all you want is it fixed.
Right. And there was a couple of things, really, that they were kind of, that really struck out and stood out above everything else. Number one, the people that I talked to, they want to see the minimum wage increase to $15 an hour. And they want to keep gay marriage illegal. They also they hate the pension tax that Mr. Snyder put on the seniors, and they want to cut school. This is in Michigan now. They want to cut school spending because they believe the Detroit schools are corrupt. So what they want to do is it's really easy to look at people and try to, you know, really get them to reason. But this is, without trying to change their mind, I was just kind of a listening. And it was really amazing to hear them talk about how the school system in Detroit was so corrupt and that they wanted to penalize basically, you know, everybody because of that.
If you cut the school system, and well, first of all, Buck, I should ask, is this the Michigan budget or just the Detroit budget? Are you punishing everyone in the whole state because you believe that Detroit is corrupt, in their opinion?
I understand that. I'd like to say that you're taking my position, but these are people, and this is how they see things. And like I said, the amazing part about this, these are the people that are going to decide this election.
Right.
And the other thing that stood out, you could chew on this a little bit, they want to end all immigration. They want to seal the border. And they want to have Medicare for everybody. That's their answer to the health care system.
Interesting. Very interesting. I'm confused about the school thing. You are talking about a statewide budget, though, right? Whenever they're talking, are all of these polls that you're talking about, are they statewide?
This is the state of Michigan. You know, I'm guessing, you know, I would guess there's similar feelings when you're talking about minimum wage and you're talking about the health crisis and also the terrorist threat. That's kind of a national thing.
Right.
But I think this was key to Michigan voters, and I was really amazed to find that. And, you know, these are things that people wouldn't say normally. You know, if you ask that question, say, perhaps to ask the question about gay rights, they wouldn't stand up and tell, you know, the world about that. But in confidence, in a private conversation with someone, or they would say how they really feel. And what I find, like I said, very interesting is that these are the people that are really going to decide this election.
Something that I hadn't really thought about too much was that you're right, you know, in confidence in the voting booth, people might not say the same things that they're willing to say out loud to other people. And that might account for a lot of the flip-flopping in some of the unpredicted elections, you know, people are secretive.
Well, you know, look at it. The perfect example of this started a few years ago, the re-election of Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. You had some of these, you know, you can remember, even in Michigan, they had the polls showed that it was a really close election and it was going to be decided on the last few days. And even, you know, the Fox News people were the big prediction and how Mitt Romney was going to win. But I can even tell you from my experience here, you know, just talking to people generally in the neighborhood and, like I said, at the coffee shops, there were a lot of, say, women who were listening to their husbands and said, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to vote for Mitt Romney. You know, he's the guy, blah, blah, blah. And when they went in the voting booth, they did the exact opposite.
Yep. That's true. I kind of feel like sometimes you almost feel like a peer pressure to just kind of go with the flow or go with what, I guess, the path of least resistance. But that's very true. Mm-hmm. Whenever they go into that voting box, I mean, you go, you cast your vote. Nobody's there with you. You are to yourself. You can vote for whoever you so do want to vote for. And, you know, that can't be held against you. And you can walk out of there and say, I voted for, just say, like, these women, I voted for Mitt Romney, but they really didn't. But you know what? No one has to know that, and no one can find that out either.
That's right. True.
And that's the beauty of it. But like I said, that all these issues, especially the part about, you know, and one of the things, and when we were talking about immigration, I know we're coming up on a break, but the plan is basically to replace a lot of the city workers in Detroit with people that have come into the country that have green cards. And like I said, I think that is where their anger is because they see the immigrants, if you will, as not a something good, but they see it as a threat.
Right. Yep.
And like I said, you know, we've gone so far in making all these robots and all this stuff that has basically devastated the manufacturing jobs. So, like I said, they see the immigrants as a threat. It's really amazing. The part that really was amazing to me was the gay marriage issue.
Yeah, that really is surprising to me too, because I know that, you know, there are people that are still holding on to that, but it's becoming an issue that's. Most people are pretty pro-gay marriage, I think, and there's also a lot of public support for that. So I guess I could see why it would be something that they would hide, you know, that you find that out in secret, but that they wouldn't be willing to broadcast to the world. But we do need to take a short break on that note. We're going to come back and talk about this some more. And speaking of voting, Brittany and I have been talking a little bit about today about the many, many people in the media who seem to think it's okay to discourage young women from voting. And we thought we'd get your two cents, too. So we'll be right back in a few minutes. I'm Angela Bachman here with Brittany Sheets and Buck Gino on the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
The International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 66, works with builders and contractors to build a better community. Local 66's tradesmen and women have received the specialty training needed to meet the complex challenges of any project, making them the most capable workforce in the region. From schools, highways, and pipeline projects to casinos and arenas, the operating engineers build any job, large or small. For over 100 years, Local 66 has provided superior service that our community can count on. They are your one-stop resource for qualified and productive operating engineers and heavy equipment mechanics. To learn more about the benefits of organized labor and more information about the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 66, go to www.iuoe66.org. That's www.iuoe66.org.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again! I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is, because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org, because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
You must be your fairy godmother.
Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important, especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size to make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Hop in, dear. Thank you.
For more information, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Confusion ever someone or have sudden...
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the 5 signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
Don't wait. Call 911 immediately.
Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome Welcome back to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman on this fine Friday.
Happy Friday, Brittany.
Happy, happy Friday. We're having some fun here. And with us, we've got Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio.
It's great to be with you, ladies. Also, happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday. Great to have you. We love having you, Buck. You know that.
Well, like I said before we took the break, it's a kind of a shame for our democracy that it's come to the fact that we're the people that are the most angry are going to decide the election. And one of the things that at the end of this thing that was telling for me was that most of them, basically by and large, didn't feel like things were getting better for them, you know, especially in what they call the personal finances end. And the sad part is they don't really see it getting any better. And like I said, I can remember when I was young, they would say, the terminology was, go out and get yourself a job. And yep. Get a job and get health care benefits and a pension. Now we tell our kids, there's no such thing as that. You just go out and get a job. And I think that is troubling when you can, and that's my frustration really, is that no matter how hard you try, working in the two-party system with the politicians that we have, it seems like it's an impossibility to get what I call the next generation up to the same standard of living that we have, which is, you know, a chance at good health care, a pension where they can retire at a decent age where they can, you know, enjoy it. And that's why you see a lot of people, you know, myself included, I've been entertaining that, you know, there's always this thought of this third party. And you look at up in upstate New York, there's a group called the Working Families Party, and they're pretty successful in how they have elected people to local offices. And you look down, I believe it was Lorain, Ohio, where a group of labor leaders were so disgruntled with both parties that they basically took all their money away, were banished basically by some of the progressives, started their own party, a progressive party of labor, and in tune elected three or four people to the city council and made a change that way. So like I said, I know it makes people cringe, and I know that everybody in the movement are tied to believing that sometimes, we're all progressives or Democrats, but, you know, there is an extreme frustration level, and I mean this is on both sides, with the conservatives and or people like myself that consider them progressives, is that we get nothing from either party.
I agree with this, and something that's interesting that kind of popped in my head as you're talking about this is Germany, how they do it in Germany. I mean, I'm not like an ace on how they do it necessarily, but I do know that they do have several different political parties, some larger than others. They have more major ones, but they have more than just two parties that are very popular and widely elected in a lot of positions. In my opinion, I think that we shouldn't be cast into like two major parties kind of like we are here, just because of, you know, like you said, like we don't always fall in line with the main values and the core of what we consider. Say like, okay, if I want to be in the Democratic Party, okay, I don't like the Republican Party or whatever, like, but I don't agree with all their views, so it's still not totally a fit. Or I like a mashup of the two. I like some of the Republican values, I like some of the Democratic values, but there's no real strong place for me. And then I kind of feel like here in our country, if you kind of go with one of those smaller groups on a wider scale for a bigger election, you really get gypped out of some things. And it's really hard to get that following to make your voice heard unless you join the bigger group.
Yeah. And not only that, right. I think that, you know, you could almost compare it to capitalism in some ways. The more competition you have, the better quality of choices you're going to get. Right. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if we have more choices, everyone would be challenged to step up and be a little bit better of a choice. And it's interesting, Buck, that you talked about the local level, because it seems like such an impossibility to just suddenly break that out for a presidential election. But I could see how having more parties could start at the local community level and kind of work their way up through the system.
We've talked about this a lot of times. I think that's the basic way that you change things. I mean, if you elect those types of people that are fighting for your interest as working people, then really that is the snowball effect. You know, that's why I encouraged all the communities around here to pass such things as having to pay a living wage and pass such things as having penalties for wage theft where companies are extorting money or cheating workers out of their pay. You know, it really, in the smaller scheme of things, it doesn't seem like much, but if you get enough of these companies to do that, then obviously sooner or later the political party will have to, obviously it would be the Democrats because the extreme right would never see that, but they would see that there is a viable force out there to basically call in the debt, so to speak, to get them to legislate and to do things that work for working families.
Yeah, I agree.
And so I said, that's why, you know, I mean, that's why we can't just sit aside. I mean, we all got to go out and vote, and we got to do our civic duty, and we must do that. But we, in some ways, we can't just sit back and say, boy, we got that election over. What are we going to do now? We eventually got to do something and put something in place to where we're actually electing people that will see to our interest. And we all know what those are. That's pretty spelled out for us. It's a decent working wage, something with a pension benefit and health and welfare, and something we can raise the family on and retire at a decent age so, you know, that we can enjoy it. It's pretty simple.
That's right. You hit the nail on the head. You can't just rest back and rest easy. You know, the election's over. We got someone elected. It's a never-ending cycle. It just keeps on going. You got to keep on pushing. Okay, you got one more elected. Then, okay, you start on the next one. The next election, you know, someone's bound to be up for re-election somewhere. So either got to keep pushing to keep that person in office if you like them, or, you know, keep pushing to get someone new in office if you don't like them. And the only way you can do that, so if you stay up on the information, you keep yourself educated, and you go out to vote.
Yeah, because right now we have a system where, in most, I don't know how it is in Pennsylvania, but here in Michigan, some of the districts are so gerrymandered toward the other side, you can call them and you know, kind of give them your opinion, but they just look and say, no big deal, I don't have to talk to you, and I'll still get elected. That's why we got to change it.
Yeah, they did that to us in Pittsburgh here. It's pretty bad. But you know what? We'll have to talk about this again later. It's important stuff, and you know, especially with the election coming up here in about a week and a half or so. You know, guys, get out there, get educated, and get ready to vote, guys. It's coming up fast. So thanks for joining us today, Buck. We'll talk to you again later. That was Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman today, and you've been listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. A union born in the South is having success organizing Southern workers. 1,000 mechanics, technicians, and maintenance personnel employed by URS at the Red River Army Depot near Texarkana, Texas, just became machinist union members. That's according to Bob Wood of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers.
People are today are much more interested in unions, and they're ready to unionize, and they're ready in the South to unionize.
Wood says 925 workers at Corpus Christi Army Depot joined the union earlier this year, and there are hundreds of others at other Southern work sites that are expected to join. Wood says the South is changing, and unions are working hard with strategies to sign up more Southern workers.
This is just the beginning. We have put together a strategic plan, and we have people coming to us and wanting unions, and we've got the organizers, and we have good contracts. We have good outcomes. We have a very strong union, and union that stands up for its members, and that's the secret to success.
Graduate student employees at Yale University are hopeful that Yale will soon begin talking with them about recognizing their union and bargaining a contract. Aaron Greenberg is chair of Yale's Graduate Employees and Students Organization.
We have made clear both in the spring and then just a few days ago exactly what we're looking for. You know, 60 miles to the north, 60 miles to the south, two universities found a way to enter into a dialogue and to negotiate with graduate employees about these issues. We hope that that happens imminently here and that we have a chance to sit down with our administration and talk about the reasons why we want to negotiate the kind of contract that we want, the kind of election that we want, and that we actually have a chance to talk with them.
Greenberg says there's a wave of academic worker organizing happening around the U.S.
It's been time for organizing academics across the country, not just in the Northeast. And the wave of organization is one that we're riding. It's one that's gotten our members very excited. And we think it's one that will ultimately allow us to succeed in sitting down with the university and actually talking about so many of the issues around our wages, around our benefits, a grievance procedure, and around really having a voice in the university as it grows.
The Indonesian Supreme Court has upheld a lower court ruling there convicting a former boss of prohibiting formation of a labor union. The court said it violates Article 28 of Indonesia's labor unions law. Hutomo Hidayat was convicted of blocking the workers from organizing at a furniture company. He fired 107 workers to bust the union organizing effort. He was sentenced to a year in prison, but East Java's High Court increased that sentence to 18 months, and the Supreme Court upheld the sentence. The criminal boss, though, has apparently fled the country rather than do his time for violating the labor law.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.